In gratitude to God for the life and ministry of John Newton, 1725-1807, who also turned back to God during a storm and became a pastor who has taught us, and an untold number of others, the beauties of amazing grace. Introduction. Prodigal Prophet. Like most people raised in a church-going home, I have been aware of the story of Jonah since childhood. As a minister who teaches the Bible, however, I have gone through several stages of puzzlement and wonder at this short book. The number of themes is a challenge for the interpreter. It seems to be about so many things. Is it about race and nationalism, since Jonah seems to be more concerned over his nation's military security than over a city of spiritually lost people? Is it about God's call to mission, since Jonah at first flees from the call and later goes but regrets it? Is it about the struggles believers have to obey and trust in God? Yes, to all those, and more. A mountain of scholarship exists about the book of Jonah that reveals the richness of the story, the many layers of meaning, and the varied applicability of it to so much of human life and thought. I discovered that varied applicability as I preached through the book of Jonah verse by verse 3 times in my ministry. The first time was at my first church in a small blue-collar town in the South. 10 years later, I preached through it to several hundred young, single professionals in Manhattan. Then, a decade after that, I preached through Jonah on the Sundays immediately after the 9/11 tragedy in New York City. In each case, the audience's cultural location and personal needs were radically different. Yet, the text of Jonah was more than up to the task of powerfully addressing them. Many friends have told me over the years that the Jonah sermons they heard were life-changing. The narrative of Jonah seduces the reader into thinking of it as a simple fable, with the account of the great fish as the dramatic, if implausible, high point. Careful readers, however, find it to be an ingenious and artfully crafted work of literature. Its 4 chapters recount 2 incidents. In chapters 1 and 2, Jonah is given a command from God but fails to obey it. And in chapters 3 and 4, he is given the command again and this time carries it out. The 2 accounts are laid out in almost completely parallel patterns. Despite the literary sophistication of the text, many modern readers still dismiss the work because the text tells us that Jonah was saved from the storm when swallowed by a great fish. See Jonah chapter 1, verse 17. How you respond to this will depend on how you read the rest of the Bible. If you accept the existence of God and the resurrection of Christ, a far greater miracle, then there is nothing particularly difficult about reading Jonah literally. Certainly many people today believe all miracles are impossible, but that skepticism is just that, a belief that itself cannot be proven. Not only that, but the text does not show evidence of the author having made up the miracle account. A fiction writer ordinarily adds supernatural elements in order to create excitement or spectacle and to capture reader attention, but this writer doesn't capitalize on the event at all in that way. The fish is mentioned only in 2 brief verses, and there are no descriptive details. It is reported more as a simple fact of what happened. So, let's not get distracted by the fish. The careful structure of the book reveals nuances of the author's message. Both episodes show how Jonah, a staunch religious believer, regards and relates to people who are racially and religiously different from him. The book of Jonah yields many insights about God's love for societies and people beyond the community of believers, about his opposition to toxic nationalism and disdain for other races, and about how to be in mission in the world, despite the subtle and unavoidable power of idolatry in our own lives and hearts. Grasping these insights can make us bridge builders, peacemakers, and agents of reconciliation in the world. Such people